Before we start this episode, we have a quick message from our sponsors.
If you're studying for the Foreign Service Officer test like us, we have a great study tool for you.
Besides listening to our podcast, we also use FSO Compass.
On FSO Compass, you can find practice tests for every section, comprehensive courses that guide you through the entire application process, and you can even connect with other aspiring U.S. diplomats.
The resources have really helped us prepare, and we hope they help you too. To access FSO Compass and get 10% off your annual subscription, be sure to use the link in our description box.
Good luck!
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of How Did We Not Know That? My name's Jack.
And I'm Nat.
And today is Nat's topic. So Nat, tell us what you're talking about today.
Today I'm talking about the life of Che Guevara. Do you know him? Have you heard
of
him?
Was he in the Scilly Isles book?
Oh, actually, I don't... I think he might have been. I mean, maybe there was a chapter about Cuba. Who knows? But
yeah, go ahead.
I feel like he's pretty well known. Like a lot of people have seen. You've definitely seen his picture, like with the beret and like the mustache, the beard, the long hair. Everyone's probably heard the name before, but I feel like even if you're, so he's pretty controversial. Even if you're a supporter or if you are an opponent, if you don't support him, I feel like on both sides, people don't get the whole picture and like maybe they don't know his full life story. So that's why I wanted to talk about him today because, I knew him, but like, I was like, do I really know him though? But for those of you who haven't heard of Che Guevara, so he's a icon of leftist radicalism and anti-imperialism in the 50s and 60s. So before I get into his whole life story, my question, it was actually kind of tricky to find a question for like just a person. So my question is, where did Che Guevara die? And how did he die? Because his downfall is... I think not really well known. I like going into this research, I was like, wait, how did he die? Because I just knew him with like Cuban Revolution, but I was like, but so Jack, yeah. Do you have a guess? Where do you think he died?
I don't know if this is the same person I'm thinking he was. I'm gonna guess either Florida or maybe he got exiled to another small island and died there. But yeah, Florida's
no, that's a really good guess. That's a really good guess. I mean, he was like all over the map in like Latin America, South America. So anywhere in that area is a very good guess. So if you want to know the answer, stay tuned. Okay, so Che Guevara, his full name is Ernesto Guevara de la Serna, and he was born in Rosario, Argentina on June 14th, 1928. He's the oldest of 5 kids, and he grew up in a middle-class family, and he actually comes from Spanish and Irish descent. His family had leftist leanings growing up, so that definitely influenced him. And he had always been a great athlete and student in school, and he actually studied in medical school. He wanted to become a doctor, and he graduated medical school in 1953. When he was young, he spent many of his holidays traveling to Latin America, and during his travels, he saw a lot of poverty on like a really large, intense scale. And he basically came to this conclusion that the only way to solve it was through a revolution, and the only way to have a successful revolution was to use like force and violence. He really didn't see Latin America as separate nations, but instead as like a cultural and economic entity. He saw it like all as one large area with like shared identity. And so pretty much like arguably the most influential period of his life began in December 1951 when he embarked on a 9-month-long journey. He took a break from med school, and then him and his friend Alberto Granado They traveled on a motorcycle that they named the Powerful. And together they traveled across Argentina, Chile, Peru, Colombia, and Venezuela. And so they're pretty much all over the map. And then from Venezuela, Granado decided to travel to Miami alone and then return to Argentina by plane. So they kind of split ways in Venezuela. So a lot of you guys might be familiar with this story because it's, I think, so Che Guevara like wrote a journal and like kept a diary. And then that diary was made into a movie called The Motorcycle Diaries with Gael Garcia Bernal. So I remember have you seen this movie, The Motorcycle Diaries?
Never even heard of it. I'm impressed that they did that on a motorcycle. That's a very long trip.
Well, like, it broke early on, and then they hitchhike, and, like, I think they end up getting a new motorcycle at one point, but, like, it's half motorcycle, half hitchhiking. You could watch the movie. It's a great movie. It's a really great movie, and it gives you, like, a more, like, detailed insight, and, like, you actually, like, feel for him. Because they're traveling across Latin America, and, like, seeing how the people are living, seeing things that, problems that need to be fixed, and, like, how they, did you look him up?
Sorry, I'm just, like, smiling at my screen, like, an right? idiot. Yeah, he's really
he's
handsome.
He's so handsome, and he's just, like, wow. Yeah, he's very handsome. so, anyway. Anyway, so, in 1953, so, Guevara's friend Alberto goes back to Argentina, but then Guevara decides to travel to Guatemala. And so at the time, the leader of Guatemala was a man named Jacobo Arbenz, and he was really progressive, definitely more left-leaning, and he wanted to bring social revolution to Guatemala. But in 1954, Arbenz was actually overthrown in a coup that had been supported by the US CIA. And so it was at this point in his life when Guevara decided that the US was always going to oppose leftist governments in Latin America, and that there would never be like harmony between the two groups. And it was also in Guatemala where Guevara decided that he was a Marxist. And he wanted to bring social revolution, like, on a global scale. He wasn't just limited to Latin America. He wanted to change the world. And so a lot of people know Che Guevara for his involvement in the Cuban Revolution. So I feel like a lot of people think he's Cuban, but he's not. He's Argentinian. He's an Argentine.
I thought he was Cuban, right? This whole time. And then you said he was born in Argentina. So
same.
Like, oh, did he die in Cuba or something?
Okay. No, like, and I literally, like, I had seen The Motorcycle Diaries, so I should have known, but I forgot, I guess. So yeah, I thought he was Cuban too, but nope. So after Guatemala, he goes to Mexico. And in Mexico, he meets the Cuban brothers, Fidel and Raul Castro. So I'm pretty sure most people will recognize those names, but in case you don't, I'm going to go into the Cuban Revolution, like, very briefly. Yeah, so he meets Fidel and Raul Castro in Mexico, and at that time, the two brothers were both political exiles, and they were preparing to attempt to overthrow the Cuban dictator, Fulgencio Batista. And Guevara meets them, and he likes what they have to say, and he's like, okay, I'll go help you. So Guevara was actually a part of Fidel Castro's 26th of July movement, where 81 men fought in support of the revolution in the Cuban province of Oriente. However, these men were almost immediately detected by Batista's forces, and most of them died. Like, there were only a few survivors, and those that did survive, including Guevara, made it to Sierra Maestra, where they kind of turned into like a guerrilla army, and they actually grew in strength. So they're hiding out in this location, they're stealing weapons from Batista's army, and then they're gaining new recruits from like the locals. So even though like they only had a few people, they're like growing in number, growing in strength. Guevara originally joined Fidel Castro to serve as a doctor, but he had been previously trained in weapons use, so he quickly became one of Castro's, like, most trusted aides. And so he was not only acting as a healer, but also as an executioner. So this, that is definitely, like, a big aspect of Fidel Castro's image, is that he was, like, a lot of people think that he's, like, this big violent person. Whether or not you agree with that, that's your own opinion. But this is kind of, like, where we see this violence begin. So Guevara fought alongside Castro for 2 years, and they successfully overthrew the Batista government. So it started from, like, this really big failure, tiny guerrilla army, and then they overthrow a whole government. And so on January 8th, 1959, Fidel Castro successfully overtook Cuba, and at the beginning, Guevara served several months at La Cabaña prison, where he oversaw executions of those who were deemed to be enemies of the revolution. So again, I mean, he's overseeing executions. It's not a very, it's pretty gruesome. And sometimes he was, like, performing the executions himself as well. So, so he actually becomes a Cuban citizen, and he, so, I mean, so he is Cuban. Yeah, he, not by birth, but, by naturalization, I guess.
That counts.
Yeah, so then he becomes a Cuban citizen. I think he revokes his Argentine citizenship, and then he becomes a prominent member of the newly established Marxist government in Cuba. He served a lot of roles. Some of them are chief of the industrial department of the National Institute of Agrarian Reform. So basically, like, agriculture.
Farmers, right?
Right. then he's also the president of the National Bank of Cuba, which is really interesting because he's a communist.
Yeah.
And then he was also the Minister of Industry. Additionally, he becomes super well-known in the West as an opposing force to imperialism and neocolonialism, and also he's well known for his attacks on specifically U.S. foreign policy. So he is not a friend to the United States. He wrote several famous speeches and articles, textbooks. One of his most famous is called La Guerra de Guerrillas in 1960, which is, like, guerrilla warfare. And in this, he argues three things about revolution in Latin America. So the first is that guerrilla forces are capable of defeating the army. Like, even if you don't have all the equipment, like, it is possible. The second is that all the makings of a revolution do not have to be in place at the beginning, at the start of the revolution. Because, like, the revolution itself can eventually create those factors. So, like, if you want to start a revolution, like, you don't have to wait until, like, all the boxes are checked, because, like, you can start the revolution.
The how-to guide.
Yeah, and then, like,
how to live your best life. You don't have to wait, until you have everything.
Just do it.
Don't plan everything. Just go.
Literally. Okay. And then, like, the third is that the countryside of underdeveloped Latin America is very well suited for armed combat and guerrilla warfare. So he's like, go nuts.
Wow.
you don't need to.
Oh my gosh. Ooh, I don't know how I feel about this
right?
guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like he, a lot of people have differing opinions, and it doesn't have to be, like, one or the other, you know?
Right.
And that's why I think it's, like, important to get the full picture, because, like, I'll get into it later, but he really has just become almost like a pop culture icon, like, just his picture, his face, like, people are like, oh, the social revolution, but it's, like, I think it's also important to, like, understand it, everything he stood for and, like, his whole history, no matter what you think.
Definitely.
So, like, basically, I mean, I guess to go off of that, like, his big visions and, like, his main arguments, he has a vision of this new socialist citizen who would like, rather work for the good of society rather than for personal profit. Like, he wants everyone to be, like, working for the community and not being, like, greedy or selfish. And so he himself, he, like, lived a very... he didn't live a very lavish life, you know. He slept in his office most of the time. And his off days, he would volunteer in the sugarcane fields, like, alongside the laborers that he's fighting for, you know. So I think, I think that's pretty honorable. He's not just, like, talking the talk, you know. Eventually, Cuba and Russia start to become closer and closer. Their relationship gets more tight-knit. But Guevara is actually not really happy with this. He doesn't really like Cuba's reliance on the Soviet Union. He feels especially betrayed when the Soviets decide to remove their missiles from Cuba without consulting the Cuban government during the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, which I would like to cover at a later time. I'm not going to get into that today, but it's a pretty big betrayal. And to not even, like, consult anybody, it's, like, a not great. So instead, Guevara begins to look towards China and Mao Zedong as an example and for support. So Guevara keeps on living his life. In December 1964, Guevara travels to New York City to give an address to the UN General Assembly. And in his speech, he condemns U.S. intervention in Cuban affairs, as well as incursions into Cuban airspace. So this is, like, a pretty, like, one of his, like, most historic things. Like, he literally goes in front of the U.N. And, like, to think about, like, how far he's come and, like, I don't know. He's this really, he's really hated by the West. So it's, like, the fact that he was there and spoke in front of them. Although I'm sure... I actually don't know this, so I don't want to, like, spout anything, but I would put money on the fact that, like, maybe probably the U.S. representative, like, dipped out, like, and didn't sit for his speech. But anyway, so when Guevara returns to Cuba, he's feeling upset about Cuba's relationship with the Soviet Union, and so he thinks, like, where else can he spread his social revolution? Because, like, I mean, he is a Cuban citizen, but he's always had his mind, he's always had big goals, and, like, he wanted to bring it on a global scale. After April 1965, he completely drops out of public life, and his movements after that are secret. So, like, even today, like, we don't know everything that happened. So I guess that's probably why, like, I was like, I never knew, like, what happened to him, like, the end of his life, like, probably because it's a secret. So
yeah,
it was later learned that he actually traveled to the Democratic Republic of the Congo with other Cuban guerrilla fighters. And so they went to the Congo because Patrice Lumumba Batilion was fighting a civil war there. And he was also communist. Oh. And so they wanted to go, like, help his side. But it was unsuccessful. It did not help. Yeah, they were just not successful in the Civil War.
Okay. And we've got to cover that topic, too. Yeah. I have heard that name.
Yeah. Yeah. Democratic Republic of Congo has got a really... There's a lot of things you could talk about. Violent. Yeah, so history. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Okay, well... Stay tuned.
We'll add it to the list. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of things to talk about. There's so many.
You know
places.
What? We will be asking our patrons, if you're listening. Check out
if you become a history hero,
you can help us choose which topics because we got so many. During his time in the Congo, Guevara resigns all of his ministerial positions in the Cuban government and he renounces his Cuban citizenship. So he's really...
So not a Cuban
not
anymore.
Not a Cuban anymore. Not a Cuban at his time of death, too. So is he Cuban? I don't know.
That's a great question. Food for thought. Is he Cuban then?
Is he... Would you say Argentinian?
What does it mean to be Cuban?
What does it mean? You know? What is a nationality?
What does it mean to be
what is your identity?
We came up with that.
Yeah. It's all, yeah. It's a social construct, but.
So, it really is.
So then what we know, I guess, today is that after the DRC, he fled to Tanzania and then to a safe house near Prague. And then in the fall of 1966, Guevara went to Bolivia incognito. So he shaves his hair, including his beard, like he's completely bald, so that he's like unrecognizable. Because also you have to remember, like, he's an enemy to like some very powerful people, many powerful countries. So like he has to, I'm guessing that's why he lived his life in secret. It was for his own safety.
Yeah.
But he's, like, not done with his mission yet. So in Bolivia, he created and led a guerrilla army in the region of Santa Cruz. And the army had some successes initially, but they were, like, constantly on the run from the Bolivian army. So like, they didn't really get a lot of opportunities to, like, make a big impact, I guess. On October 8th, 1967, Guevara's group was attacked by a special attachment of the Bolivian army that was aided by the CIA. Guevara was wounded in the attack and was captured and shot to death, and he died at the age of 39. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I know, so it's a pretty, like, anticlimactic ending. I mean, I maybe I should cut that out. That's like not a nice thing to say, but
an anticlimactic.
That's not the ending. Word. That's not the right word. It's just like, I don't want to say that. It's more like, I don't know. He was on such a roll, and then the fact that I don't know. It was abrupt. I think that's a better word to describe it. Is very abrupt ending.
Yeah. Yeah. Super sudden.
It's very sudden. Yeah. That's definitely the word I was looking for. And, yeah, so I guess to answer our question, where did he die and how? He died in Bolivia by the Bolivian army. And this part is a little bit gruesome. It'll just be 15 seconds, so, like, gore warning, skip ahead. So in order to prove his identity, his hands had to be severed in order to take fingerprints later. And they had to, like, put his hands in formaldehyde
and stuff
to preserve it.
Whoa.
Like,
oh, I hate formaldehyde.
Yeah, sorry.
It smells so bad.
Sorry, I should have warned you, too.
Okay. that's the part I'm upset about, is the formaldehyde.
Yeah, sorry.
Cut off formaldehyde. His hand, that's fine. Formaldehyde.
Yeah. That brings me back to, like, my anatomy classes in high school.
No, same. I got a flashback of bio.
Yeah.
Like,
yikes.
Biology.
Not a fun smell. It sticks with you forever.
It really does.
Yeah. So, it's believed that Guevara and the other fighters were buried in a mass grave near the town of Valle Grande in Bolivia. And in 1997, a skeleton that was believed to be that of Che Guevara, as well as six of his other men, were transported to Cuba in order to be interred in a massive monument and memorial in Santa Clara. However, like, it is a little bit disputed, like, whether or not those are the actual remains. But who knows? So,
yeah, it's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's not a lot of conclusive information on his end.
I mean, I think that's the fun part about learning about Che Guevara, is that there's a lot of mystery and intrigue because there's a lot of secrets, and, you know, it's like, ooh, what did he do?
Yeah. Mysterious man.
Yeah. I mean, like, so, I mean, I guess that segues into my conclusion, but, like, basically, like, he has a huge level of fame. A lot of people know him on a first name basis. Like, Che is, like, a household name. Just like Elvis, like, you know, people are all around the world know him. So, on the right side of the political spectrum, he's hated as a brutal, cruel, murderous man who used violence much too quickly in order to bring about revolution. But on the left side of the spectrum, his romanticized image as a revolutionary inspired a whole generation of young leftists across the world. And, like, today you could see his face on t-shirts, posters, mugs, everywhere, bumper stickers. And so at first his image was worn as a statement of revolution, but I think over time, you know, he just became an abstract logo whose meaning and his history has been forgotten by many people who adorn his image. So I hope everyone listening today, like, learned a little bit more about him, and was able to, like, form a more, like, concrete opinion on him, because, yeah, I guess when I learned about him in high school, it was very biased, and I didn't get the full picture. Even in college when I learned more about him, like, I still didn't understand everything, so that's why I wanted to talk about him today. But, yeah, so that's the life of Che Guevara. So I hope everyone enjoyed.
Yay! Thank you, Nat. Yeah, that was a great episode. I never learned about Che Guevara till this moment. If I have heard of him, I just read about him, or I saw him, like, on a t-shirt maybe briefly.
Right?
So
I feel like a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a great topic.
A lot of people are in the same boat. They know his face, but not his story.
Yeah, unless you're in that space of political revolutions, you might not have heard about him. But I appreciate you ending with the parallels on what each side of the spectrum sees him as, because it shows you the difference in opinions on him. So thanks for doing that.
Yay.
Great time. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Yay, bye.
Bye.
This has been an episode of How Did We Not Know That?
If you liked it, don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You can also follow us on all social media at HDWNKT and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Also, check out our website at HDWNKT.com to find all of our show notes and study guides for each episode.
You can help us improve the quality of the podcast by becoming a history hero through our Patreon.
Thank you for listening, and see you guys next week.